You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, Colt Molesky bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOnTimberwolves.com website, as well as the Locked On T-Wolves at Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account. You can also check out my Twitter account, ESKY. I have gone off the rails a little bit over the summer as far as random tweets, but coming up with the basketball season, I'm sure I'll get back on task. So if you want to follow me there for Timberwolves content, make sure to do so. And we're going to be talking about some recent news for the Timberwolves, but we'll have a very special topic to cover after we're done with the recent news, getting taking care of business for the Timberwolves Nation. But first, let me introduce our guest. We haven't had him on in a while, and you know what? I take full responsibility for that. But Seth Topol is back on. He is of KLGR, and he runs the Scoop Show, covering all things Minnesota sports. Seth, thanks so much for jumping back on the podcast.
What up? Thanks for having me back on. Always, I do enough of these interviews and sit in the chair that you're sitting in right now. So it's always interesting for me to flip to the other side of the broadcast studio, and I'm always happy to do so. Glad to be back on.
Good to have you back on. And we've had an interesting summer. I've tried to get creative with some of the content. Obviously, covering news is pretty basic. But we're talking about this show. I believe that we're both pretty excited and pretty jazzed up for today's topic. And we'll see what it turns into. It's kind of maybe it'd be a two-part episode, because I think this is going to take some time for us to tackle this topic. But we'll see where the September, early September content takes us. Really ready for the preseason going, to get back into basketball and be done with the August / early September content. But you know what? The NBA season is a grind, and so is the offseason. So we're going to get through it, and we're going to get to the NBA season, and it won't come soon enough. But let's cover some news before we get in our special topic for today. The most relevant, I think, right now is obviously Jimmy Butler going out with the rap star Iggy. What are your thoughts and feelings on Jimmy Butler pursuing a rap star? Do you think this is a distraction for the Sun, or do you think that this will actually help focus him, because he's now back on mission? He releases an album, so he's got to put up points in that couple of weeks. Do you think this is a competitive bedroom, or do you think this is a bit distracting this summer?
You know, I'm of the mind that in the off season, players are free to do whatever they feel like, and that when the season comes, when it comes time to get back to basketball, that that everybody will focus up and get ready to roll. I don't think that there is any set way to approach the off season. If players want to train a couple of days a week and do that throughout the entire off season, then that is their prerogative. If they want to take a couple weeks, go travel, Karl Anthony Towns did that early in the summer, that's a fine way to do it too. But I'm not one of those. We see this all the time in the NFL, and Kirk Cousins especially has come under fire for this. From some just weird Vikings fans, he tweeted out early in the time where he came to Minnesota, asking what some of the best golf courses in Minnesota were, and he wanted to try to play some of them throughout the off season. And one of the first responses was somebody saying, "Shouldn't you be more focused on learning the playbook so that the Vikings can win a Super Bowl?" It's like, no. Do you as a full-time worker spend 100% of your waking life worried about your job? No. You like to enjoy weekends. You don't work on weekends. Most people don't. So I don't feel like athletes should have to spend their entire off-season devoting themselves to staying ready for the season. Now, If they want to, that's their prerogative. But if you want to go travel and enjoy a couple of weeks before the season gets underway, I'm totally fine with that. And I think anybody that does that, I think it will help them kind of refocus as we get towards the start of the season.
You're trusting the offseason, and you're saying he'll buckle down for the regular season. Once we get to actual basketball, he's going to be buckling down, and you're trusting the offseason regiment.
Yeah, I think Butler knows at this point in his career what he needs to do to get ready for the season, and when it gets close to time, I think the season starts sometime in October, so we've got even a full month before we get to regular season games. So if he wants to, go travel the world with Iggy, that's his right to do so, and I fully expect that he'll be ready to go once we get started.
I've never been worried about Butler and his off-season regimen. It sounds like he's insane just as far as what he does in the gym and getting ready for the season. But now we should probably talk about Luol Deng and the Timberwolves and how they're in contention for him. People who actually are very serious about the Timberwolves offseason are probably losing their minds right now. So let's talk about the Lakers, who bought out and got rid of Luol Deng. He is off the Lakers roster after playing a whopping 13 minutes for them in the entirety of the 2017-18 season. And there's a lot of talk about him and Joakim Noah, both of them or one of those two guys joining the Timberwolves and completing and building towards the Timberwolves roster that Tibbs apparently is constructing. First of all, is this cause for concern for you if one or both of these players are signed by the Timberwolves, even if it's on a one-year minimum? Or is this just trying to build some depth for the Timberwolves? And is Tibbs, if he does this on a one-year minimum deal, is he just showing that he's trying to build depth and he's not really trying to bring in guys from some past regime to relive some dream that he had from 2010?
You know, I'm kind of torn on this situation. I guess okay with it if there's an if. I'm okay with it if it doesn't cut into playing time for Josh Okogie and Kata Bates-Diop. I think there is a case to be made that it's more important for those two to get playing time and to grow throughout the season than it is for Luol Deng or Joakim Noah to get minutes on this team. Now, if you bring in Noah and he fills a role similar to the one that Cole Aldrich filled for the last couple of seasons, where he's your third center and he plays, in blowouts, he gets a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, I think that would be fine. I think Noah would be able to help this team a little bit more defensively than Aldrich was able to. So I would be fine with that happening. The other point of that being, if they bring in Joakim Noah, then that kind of makes you wonder what is going on with Justin Patton. Is he going to be a big contributor to this team this year, or is he going to just have another lost season like he had last year, where he was injured most of the year and he spent what portion of the season he wasn't injured down in the G League? I'd like to see him get an opportunity to get some run just so that we can see what we've got with him. But I think the most realistic thing is that Tibbs wants veterans that know his system so that they can help speed up the learning process for some of these younger guys, which I feel weird saying because we're now in year three of the Tibbs regime, and you'd think that players would learn or would have learned the system by now. I again draw a lot of parallels to the Vikings because you've got a defensive-minded head coach who has been coaching in the league for a long time and runs an elaborate system, but Vikings don't seem to have any sort of learning curve with Zimmer's system. Now, that obviously, I think, speaks to a larger issue that Zimmer caters his scheme more to the players that he has instead of forcing the players that he has to learn his system. I think he's more creative in the ways that he can work various players' skill sets in. And I think that's something that Tibbs struggles with, is trying to adapt what he wants to do to the current NBA, which is a lot of three-pointers, and that's just not something that the Wolves do at this point. They want to try to grind it out and play at a slower pace, but everything else in the NBA is going faster now. So I would rather, I guess, to answer this question in a very long-winded way, I would rather see the young guys get a chance to develop and get some minutes off the bench so that they're ready to roll in a bigger capacity over the next couple of years. But realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if we get both Luol Deng and Joakim Noah as well, just to fill out this bench to give more veterans who have been in the system a chance to try to help out the rest of the players that haven't learn it quicker. So I guess I wouldn't be surprised if we get both. I'm not going to be overly upset if we get both, but again, I'd rather see the young guys get a chance to get some big minutes.
Well, and I would be, I've seen a lot of people say if it's the minimum contract, don't overreact to one-year deals. I would overreact, though, and I think it is a symptom of the coach in the system that he has in place. I wouldn't even say it's an overreaction. I would react negatively to Joakim and Luol joining this roster because there's already a massive minutes problem from last year for this team and for this roster. If you look at the minutes distribution, Tyus Jones, somebody who lots of people all over the place would have liked to see more of and would have liked to see more minutes from Tyus Jones on the floor and would have liked to see a bigger role for him with the starters especially. He averaged a little over 17 minutes a game, and he was starting basketball games when Jeff Teague went down December 28th, I believe the game was, against the Denver Nuggets late in December in that overtime game against the Nuggets. Jeff Teague goes down, and so Tyus Jones is starting a few for a couple weeks after he goes down, and he still only managed 17 minutes per game throughout the entire season last year. That's crazy. And to be bringing in Kiyube's job, Josh Okogie, two guys who you think can really not only fit into the system, two guys who can help the defense a lot, two guys who offensively can probably space the floor a little bit for the Timberwolves, but also two guys that you need to figure out what you have in these young guys. Josh Okogie, your 20th pick. Keita, a real steal where they took him in the second round, in the middle of the second round, a real big steal because a lot of people saw him going late to mid first round. So you got to see what you have in those guys. And then I'm glad you brought him up. Justin Patton, the 16th pick from a year ago. We're not talking about the 60th pick in the draft. This was a guy just outside the lottery who the Timberwolves picked. And he's basically played zero minutes in the NBA. He played just over three minutes in one game for the Timberwolves last year. So he basically hasn't played for them in actual regular season basketball. And you need to figure out what you have from him. And I know that people are maybe a little concerned about power forward depth, about the front court. You're not really sure that you can depend on Taj Gibson to play 33 solid minutes a game again for you this season. But I would say that figuring out what you have in these young guys is so much more important, and it can help with the depth. Justin Patton can help with that front court depth. Kiyube's job, talking with him at Summer League, he was talking about how they were telling him, the Timberwolves organization was talking to him about playing in the four spot, more than the three maybe even, and how he'd be switching back and forth between those two roles. So I think you have depth there from Keita if you're playing him enough minutes. You still have Gorgie on this team that you can play. So I think the depth is there. It's just, is there a willingness to play young guys and to play he's basically this group of rookies that you have. Not to mention, I think that it's good if you're playing more minutes to Tyus Jones, more minutes to Josh Okogie. Play more small ball. And like you're saying, the NBA is a fast-paced game, and whether you want to slog it or not, you should at least be able to know that you have small ball lines to play. So even if you are going more of a slugfest type of basketball, can switch it up and you can change the pace. No basketball team has ever won the championship, at least not in recent memory, while only being able to play one style of basketball. You've got to morph and mold your team into a couple different units to be able to even win playoff games, let alone be able to contend for a championship. And if that's what you truly want to do as a Timberwolves organization, you've got to figure out what you have in some of these young guys and figure out a couple different lineups and a couple different ways to win basketball games. And so, again, my way was about as long as your way of saying the long way to say this is a bad thing if they're signing these guys, because we have young guys that we need to figure out what we have in them and who can really handle bigger minutes for this Timberwolves team. So I think that it'd be a big deal if they bring in even one of these guys, because you already have veterans, Derrick Rose, Anthony Tolliver coming back to the Timberwolves. Those were the veteran minimum signings this season, or pretty close to the veteran minimum in Anthony Tolliver's case. But you have those guys brought in on little deals, and I think that if you bring in any more of those, they're eating into too many minutes for these young guys. But the other problem is even if you don't bring in those guys, do you think that Tibbs still has a dedication to these young guys and playing them any minutes whatsoever?
No. I mean, that his past, and even looking to last season, his history with how he handles his bench players is well documented. Jamal Crawford, that was one of his biggest rubs. And I don't know if we actually ever heard or have heard tales from inside the Wolves locker room from Jamal Crawford now that he has moved on. He hasn't signed with anyone yet that I've seen, but it would be interesting to hear from Crawford, because I know he is very active in terms of being on podcasts and things of that nature. So it would be interesting to hear his thoughts on how things went down, but I think one of the biggest frustrations with him throughout the year was lack of minutes and inconsistent minutes too. There would be some games, you know, where he'd get 25, 26 minutes a game and he'd put up 20 points. There'd be other games where he'd get like 8 minutes, and that's always been a staple of Tibbs, has been to opt to go with his starters longer as opposed to bringing guys off the bench. Now, part of that has been because of a lack of performance by some members of the bench unit. But on the other side, you have to be able to get consistent play in order to be consistent. So it's frustrating, I'm sure, for some of those players like Tyus Jones, who goes from starting in Jeff Teague's absence to then being on the court with Derrick Rose and Jamal Crawford and being kind of the third wheel of that group. And I don't know. This starting lineup has been, when they're all together, has been so good that I think it's easy to overlook what has been going on with the bench. But I think we got a taste of what happens with this team and what has been the preferred method of winning games with Tibbs has been, well, whoever the starters are, they're going to play 40 minutes, and then we'll just figure out the rest as we go.
Well, and I only ask because if Luol or Joakim don't join the Timberwolves, it sounds like that doesn't give you too much optimism towards maybe Tibbs is changing the way he's thinking about this basketball team, and maybe he's going to play these young guys more minutes, and that's why he's not bringing those guys in. It doesn't sound like that's kind of your optimist approach to if Joakim Noah doesn't join the Timberwolves. It sounds like it might just be because he couldn't get the front office to totally sign off on this, even though he's kind of playing GM coach, or maybe it's because he didn't think they'd be healthy. But whatever the reason is, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play rookies more.
Yeah, there can be a lot of different factors that would go into it. It could depend also on what those two guys are looking for in an opportunity for their next team. Are they going to want to be a true backup? Is Noah going to want to be a true backup center that gets, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game, something like that, consistently? Well, we probably would not be able to offer that, per se. And what does Lou Aldang want to do now that he is a free agent? Does he want to be like that sixth or seventh option on a team? Well, we probably can't offer that as well. So it depends on what they're looking for as players for their next opportunity. And I think that if they were to sign elsewhere, that yeah, it could mean that they just didn't see a fit here, or that there could have been a couple of other factors. I could see Glenn Taylor deciding, you know what, I think we have enough bulls on this team. But I don't know. That's going to be a very interesting dynamic to watch throughout the season. It seems like there is some growing frustration between Glenn Taylor and Tom Thibodeau, and Taylor has not really been actively vocal in the offseason in the past, but it really seems like this offseason he gets it. He knows what's going on with this team, and any sort of slip-up or missing the playoffs, I think, could spell the end for the Thibodeau era.
Yeah, it seems to be, after what should be a pretty jubilant season from last year, there's enough problems and enough things that kind of went lopsided throughout last season into the playoffs and the offseason, where it feels like this team is already teetering on the brink of some pretty serious changes, judging by how this season goes and how it progresses, which is kind of crazy to think of a team that went 13 seasons without making the playoffs and then finally broke through just last year. But yeah, so basically, in the long and short of it, is the news is Lou Aldang, Joakim Noah, the Timberwolves are in the market for those two players, especially with Lou after he has been now removed from the Lakers situation. Now the Timberwolves are in contention for both these guys, possibly. Lou Aldang, I think it was yesterday, was it, went to the Timberwolves for a workout. So that could very well happen, but that doesn't necessarily, whether it happens or not, is not necessarily a good thing for the rookies either way on this team and the young guys on this team who desperately need some minutes to figure out what we have from them. Moving on, we're going to take a quick break from some sponsors before we get to our special segment that I think is going to end up being a two-parter here. But first, a word from some sponsors. Setobo, the host of The Scoop on KLGR Radio, he is joining us today. We've just talked about recent news and Timberwolves news and Timberwolves coverage, but now we're getting to our special segment, something I wanted to tackle, something that we've kind of been dancing around all summer, it feels like, and now we're going to really dig into it with Seth here over the next couple of shows. Going to finish out today's show and going to have a carryover into the next show. Seth, we're going to try and see if we can fix Andrew Wiggins. And this is a task that people have been working on all this summer, all last season, trying to talk about it, write about it, discuss it with friends. Lots of bar fights, I'm sure, have started because people arguing over Andrew Wiggins and over his max contract. So let's just, right now, let's just list the, go over what the problems are, and then we'll dive into how we think, our respective ways of how we think we can fix the problem and kind of make this thing work with Andrew Wiggins on the team. So first, a few of the problems that Wiggins has had over the last season that really have been magnified. But some of these problems have been a couple seasons in the making and really were amplified last season. So first of all, obviously, the max contract followed by a massive dip in points. He was averaging a shade over 23 points per game last season, down to 17, or two seasons ago, 23 points in the last season, 17 points after signing the max deal that had him here for six seasons now, that made sure that the extension onto his rookie contract kept him around for the long haul. And a massive dip in both points, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, even though he's really only shooting about three shots less per game from the field. Still a big dip in points and field goal and shooting percentage. Now, I know that people could say, well, he's shooting three shots less, so he's going to be making maybe a half a shot less, so it's natural to see him get a bump in 6 points less per game. I think that that is more because of his free throw percentage, which is really the troubling stat. 76% free throw shooter his entire career up till last season, where he dropped down to 64% from the free throw line. Over 10% drop in free throw percentage, already a middle of the road free throw shooter. Now he's dangerously close to that. We make fun of the center's kind of free throw shooting range for his percentage. And that's really, I think, if you see that drop and then the points drop, I think if he just keeps that free throw percentage at 76%, he's probably still hovering around that 19 to 20 mark, which is a lot more, you can swallow a lot easier than the 17 and the 6 point drop in his production points wise after that max deal. I know it's only two to 3 points we're talking, but when it's every single game and you have stats dropping off all over the place and then a massive stat like that mixed with the points and the max contract, it all starts to compile up when you're looking at these things. And so that coupled with the already going into this season, the problems with Wiggins just around his effort. You always have people talk about how it looks like he's giving up on games. He's not showing up for the Wednesday night Sacramento games. And now mixed with he's playing with a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's uber intense basketball player. And he's just not matching that level of intensity very often at all through the NBA season. Coupled with the fact that you have him complaining late in the season about being the third option. All of this stuff off and on the court mixed with the stats and the max contract seem to be the big problems surrounding Wiggins. Am I missing anything here, Seth?
No, I think you've hit it pretty well on the head. I like to equate it to this. When Wiggins was performing at his high level a couple years ago, he was best at being a slasher, driving to the basket, aggressively dunking on people, or drawing contact. That was kind of his bread and butter, using his athleticism to be able to drive in and posterize people. That was how he was his most successful. And for whatever reason, Tom Thibodeau has tried to turn him into a spot-up shooter. And it's bizarre to me. I mean, Butler and Wiggins, they are very similar players in their style. But I think it was a weird choice to try to turn Andrew Wiggins into more of a Richard Hamilton. I think, and honestly, I think that's exactly what the thought process was there is, okay, What do I need from my successful Bulls teams? Well, I've got Jimmy Butler, I've got Taj, I've got the center who can rebound, and his defense will come around. I need somebody that can hit shots from outside. Well, I've got Andrew Wiggins, so maybe I have to try to just kind of fill that hole. It's a square peg. Trying to put it in a round hole, so I'll just have to kind of file down the edges and see if I can get that to work.
I like that you bring up system as well as a problem and a symptom of some of these problems for Wiggins. I think that Wiggins is a really, if you watched him in college, which is probably where he was. Is it fair to say he might have been the most comfortable in college? And he was putting up his best defensive stats where he was averaging a block a game, over a steal a game. These are all better stats, defensive stats, than he's ever had in the NBA. And he's averaging over 17 points per game. He's shooting 49% on two-pointers and 34% for three-pointers. And his field goal percentage is 44%. And from the free throw line, 77%, which, by the way, is also the best mark for him, better than any mark that he's had in the NBA from the free throw line. More of a relaxed setting. He's playing with Joel Embiid. They have a solid cast of B-roll players around them on Kansas. It's a little more relaxed. Obviously, he's a team, but he's kind of a 1B star with Joel Embiid. It just seems like that was his most relaxed setting. Not only is Tibbs throwing him in a spot where he's supposed to be a three-point shooter, but it also seems like he's just not responding to the yelling, screaming Tibbs. And it's a problem because I think you have to know. I don't think you're supposed to go easy on players, and expectations are supposed to be differently because Wiggins maybe is a relaxed basketball player. But I think that the way you coach players doesn't all have to be the same. And so I think it's a failure not only by Tibbs but by assistant coaches. If you're an assistant coach and you see players, maybe you have a talented player, but he's just – when I play football, you see this all the time. The rah-rah, yelling, screaming head coach is kind of stereotypical. And not every player responds to that. You can get players to get their best, and you cannot ease up on expectation or firmness with players. But you also don't have to scream in their face. Not all players respond that way. And we actually had a linebacker coach, which is kind of strange from a linebacker coach. But we had a linebacker coach on the defensive side of the ball to kind of counterbalance the defensive coordinator, who is the scream in your face and insult your manhood and your mother and your family lineage. And then you had this linebacker coach who would come alongside certain players because he knew that a softer hand and more of a guided, all right, this is what you did wrong and this is how we can fix it, was the approach to take with more players. And if you don't have an assistant coach doing that with Wiggins, maybe that's the way he needs, and maybe it won't help, but if you don't have an assistant coach at least trying that, I think that's a massive failure. And I feel like he's not the player who's going to respond well to Tibbs. And so it's discouraging to know that not only is the system not helping these fixes, but it might actually be, or not helping these problems, but it might actually be making them worse and compounding the issue.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. Look at the best coaches in the NBA right now. Brad Stevens, I'll throw that name out. Brad has, there are a lot of different personalities on that team. You've got guys like Kyrie Irving. You've got Marcus Smart. You've got Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward. A lot of different, and that's not to say other teams don't too, but you have a lot of different players. You've got guys like Horford who have been in the league forever, and you've got rookies too. You have to find a way to get to all of them, and players respond to different things. That's a perfect way to put it. Players respond to different things. Some players have to be encouraged more. They have to kind of be nudged in the right direction. Some players end up being able to just find their own way and get there themselves. And you cannot impede that. The demeanor of Tibbs, even from just watching games, is just exhausting. Just from 8 seconds into the game, already starting to scream. And I can only imagine how that has started to wear on the younger players on this team who hadn't experienced it before Tibbs came in. Look at the coaches that were here before him. Sam Mitchell, always known as more of a player's coach. And I'm sure there were times where he had to try to get on players a little bit when they were not playing up to expectations. And then before that, you had Flip Saunders, who is maybe the epitome of a player's coach. A guy who found ways to get to people. I mean, look at what he had, what Saunders had with Stephon Marbury. He had Kevin Garnett having to try to handle the intensity of players like that, but being able to do that and to get the most out of them. I think you start having to look more at how each player is doing as opposed to why is my system not working. And I don't see a lot of that in Tibbs.
And again, I'm not saying that you need to ease up on Wiggins because maybe he doesn't like to get yelled at. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm sure people don't want to hear that, especially after he's getting max money. But what I am saying is that maybe the scream in your face, like the manager yelling at the umpire approach, isn't working for him. And a gentler hand does not mean it's less firm. It just means that you're approaching coaching a different way, and you're not screaming at him in front of teammates, and you're not trying to break him down to build him up. Maybe it means an assistant coach taking him to the side and going over stuff with him and giving him a film session, talking with him and saying, look, you're better than this. It's disappointing because we know you're better than this, and we gave you max money because we know you're better than this. So here's what you got to work on. Here's what you got to do, and here's how you got to approach things differently. And if nobody's doing that, and nobody's at least trying that approach, it doesn't feel like they are. If the knock on him is that they can't get him engaged in basketball for the last couple of years, you can't. It feels like then it's just Tibbs over and over again ramming his head at Wiggins' lack of engagement and. It just—it's not—it's clearly not working. Something needs to be done, and we're gonna attempt to fix that. But we're gonna save that for next episode. So Seth, stick around with me. We're gonna record this right now, but I'm gonna make everybody wait an extra day for it. This is I know it's cruel. It's cruel, but this is Locked On Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us.
Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.